Hey guys, welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. We are now in episode one of season two, which is Western influencers. Not just the people that are influencing your fashion, but influencing the industry as a whole. Our first guest today is somebody we are so excited to talk to. She is a largely followed woman. We're talking 129,000 followers on Instagram. She is the owner of Lil B's Bohemian. We're talking to Kelly Tracy. Kelly, how are you?
I am good. I'm so glad to be a part of this. I can't thank y'all enough.
Oh my gosh. We are stoked. It's literally the pleasure is all ours. So Kelly, tell us what is Western fashion like to you? What does it mean?
Well, you know, I think any type of fashion, not just Western fashion, I believe that it's what we wear, you know, what we put on our bodies, what we wear, how we put our outfits together. It really tells a story of who we are, who we are as a person, or, you know, a lot of times it tells us a story of who we want to be. I mean, there's so many people out there that are striving to be a certain way, and I think that they can, you know, tell their story through fashion, you know, get their point across a lot of times through what they're wearing.
Well, that's so good, because it is conversational, really, when you wear pieces that you love and you can really communicate through.
Angela and I talk about that all the time, that, like, I don't think we always think of it this way, but your clothing communicates something about you right away to someone else. And think of all the times that you wear something and someone looks at you and they're like, oh, that's so you. You know, it's like, well, what does that mean? You know?
Exactly. No, I completely agree. And I think, you know, back to the Western part, I really think that there's a lot of, I guess, wannabe cowgirls, I guess you could say, out there. I mean, me being the main ringleader, I'm a total wannabe cowgirl. I mean, I've never wanted to be a cowgirl so bad in my whole damn life right now, but I'm not, you know. I never grew up on a ranch. I don't ride horses. I didn't grow up rodeoing, you know. I mean, but luckily, my love for this style and, you know, I didn't, you know, my love for the style, I pretty much got kidnapped. I got kidnapped by the cowgirls, mostly in Texas, and then I kind of evolved to other states, and, like, thank God that happened.
I think it's funny, too, how much, like, there's this pressure of being somebody when it comes to Western fashion in order to wear it, because how many of us wear GD boat shoes and don't own a GD boat? Oh, I mean, come on. Like,
most definitely.
Yeah, there is, like, this big pressure that other, I don't know,
it doesn't necessarily exist in other industries.
No, no. Like, how many things get borrowed and stolen from other countries, other cultures, other, you know, whatever, and it's just second nature. But
so then, totally everyone's ripping off everyone else, so.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
And trying to claim it as their own, like they're the one that invented the wheel, but
yeah,
I guarantee somebody was there before you that invented it, so.
Well then, Kelly, how did you get into Western fashion then, if this isn't something that you, like, grew
she
up
was
around?
Kidnapped, Abby.
Well, yeah. tell us more about that fateful day.
Well, I've always loved, you know, bohemian cowgirl style. You know, subconsciously, I didn't really even realize that I was doing it. I mean, I grew up in Daytona Beach, Florida. You know, all I ever knew was coastal surfers. Like, it was only cool to be a surfer in high school, you know. And, I mean, looking back, I remember looking back in high school, and there was, like, all, you know, you have all your groups. You've got the grungies, the stoners, the nerds, you've got the hicks. I was, like, a jock, like, prep, you know. I wasn't into fashion until, like, later in life, but looking back on it now, I say this all the time, I was like, man, if I could have just hung out with the hicks, because those were some badass people. Like, they, you know, they would show up with their fishing shirts, their Guy Harvey shit, and their, like, big old belt buckles, and I just thought that they were totally, like, where did these people come from? But I'm thinking, like, those were the people that knew what the fuck was up. Like, they, like,
that's amazing. So at what point did it kind of become your thing?
So I spent a lot of time out in California. I, like I said, I grew up in Daytona Beach. I went to college. I mean, I've kind of been all over the place. Went to college in Wisconsin.
Oh.
And then out to California. And that's kind of when I really, I guess, found myself out there. I felt really free. I just loved it out there. And I kind of incorporated the whole bohemian hippie style, you know, with, you know, the fringe and the suede, which now, mind you, all the surf companies like Billabong and Rip Curl and all of them are now doing Western. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but
yes.
They're all doing the Aztec prints, all doing the French. So I think it's coming full circle. But I've always had like a bohemian cowgirl style, you know, a little bit of rock and roll. I mean, I used to bartend bike week rallies, so I've always incorporated you didn't know that about me, did you?
Amazing.
Oh, I've done so many roles.
I did not, but I'm so happy to learn.
Yes. But I've always, just mixed it, like hippie, cowgirl, rock and roll, surfer, cowgirl, like bohemian style. I mean, it's just kind of worked for me. And then when I lost my job 4 years ago, I had this huge corporate job that I moved from California to Boca Raton, Florida for. They laid me off because they didn't want to pay my salary anymore. I legit started my company the next day. I'm like, I'm starting a boutique. And I seriously pulled stuff out of my closet and started selling it.
Wow.
Because when I was in California, because to survive out there because it's so expensive, I had like a little eBay side hustle going. Now, this was before Poshmark was ever a thing. So I would go to thrift shops and buy, you know, cool stuff and resell it. And I was banking $1,000 a week on doing that shit.
Damn, girl, okay.
Yeah, well, now Poshmark has, blown everyone out the water with that resale shit. So, yeah. I mean, more power to them. But, yeah, that's kind of how I got started. I mean, that's how I learned how to do all the shipping and everything. And I just kind of started with my own style. I mean, I think that's why I've become so successful. I don't want to say so successful, but I've become...
Oh, you can say that.
Yeah, well, I've become, you know, where I'm at today, I think, because I stay true to my style. I don't sell anything. There's nothing on my website that I wouldn't personally wear myself.
Oh, that's so important. We've talked about that with so many people that, that's the cornerstone, really, to a lot of this success is just, being yourself.
For no other reason that, you are stuck with it if you can't sell it.
Yep.
Yeah, stay true to yourself. I mean, I try to tell other boutique owners out there that struggle is why are you selling this shit? You wouldn't even wear that. Would you wear those sequin shoes? No, you wouldn't wear those shoes. So why are you selling them?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So true.
Damn.
So where does your name come from in all of this? What's the little bees
all about?
This is a hilarious story. So I was dating Clint. He's now my husband. We've been together for 6 years. But when I came on the scene 6 years ago, you know, he was recently divorced and so was I. We've both been married before. And he had, baggage, you could say, two children and an ex-wife. Which, you know, it was a struggle in the beginning, but we're making it. You know, blended families are always, you know, they're not the easiest.
Yeah.
But he had a little girl and a little boy. I think the son was 11 at the time, and Lexi, his daughter, was 10. And I always called her, she could be my best friend, or she could be a total fucking bitch. I gave her the nickname Lil B, L-I-L-B, and she didn't know, she didn't get it at the time, because I was hey, Lil B, and she just thought, she was my best friend, and I was no, you're not, you're being a little B right now. So that kind of incorporated into the name, and I've always loved bees, and then being out in California for so long, that really, put the bee obsession, I guess, more solid, because we need bees to survive.
Oh, the world needs bees.
And everyone's, on fire for bees out in California. No one cares about them here in Florida, but out in California, it's if you gotta protect the bees out there. And the whole bohemian, I went through this, a bohemian style phase for, it's still going through it, I guess you could say. And I just kind of put all the words together, and I'm like, Lil B's Bohemian. This is great.
Dang.
And it's, now looking back, I didn't realize how difficult it was going to be to, when you're dealing with vendors or dealing with anyone over the phone or, having to spell out your name. When you say Lil B's, everyone thinks it's L-I-T-T-L-E.
Right.
And I'm no, it's Lil.
Like Lil Wayne.
Come on.
L-I-L.
Lil.
So, yeah, that's how the name came about. I mean, it's actually a really rad name. I mean, I just got it registered, copyrighted, and everything, all those jazz. And that took me about 2 years. I had to fight with the Chinese company to, get my name.
Damn.
But luckily, I had an amazing lawyer. I had to hire a second lawyer to get that. but
wow,
stoked.
Wow, that's so cool. I just love always hearing, like, people's background story on stuff, too, because, like, you would just think that, I don't know, not that that came from, like, a random name generator, but, like, I feel like a lot of boutiques do. Mm-hmm. It's, like, pick a color,
they're like,
pick an object,
gypsy, boutique, wandering,
I know,
desert,
combine.
It's almost like a lot of these pop-up boutiques that have started, and I'm not hating on or anything, but I almost feel like it's, you know those memes where you pick, like, what month were you born?
Yes.
That's the word
there
you
it
get.
Is.
And then, like, day of the month, and that's the other word you get. And then, like, what's your favorite color? And then that's the word you get. Like, those three words are now your boutique name. Like,
I think they do that with stripper names, too, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Love me some strippers. I grew up in Daytona Beach, but I was always too fat to be a stripper. But I love it. A lot of my best friends were strippers. And that's another thing, like, that was when I was in my early 20s, I was like, I'm gonna make their outfits. I'm buying a sewing machine, and these bitches here, they need some new outfits, because this shit ain't working for me. Like,
that's, like, basically me and Angela's relationship.
I'd like to clarify that I'm also not a stripper.
I make all of her stage clothes. You can decide the stage.
A lot of time at Lollipops in Daytona Beach in my 20s, and I don't even think it's there anymore, but I loved it. I had the best time of my life.
This is amazing. So let's switch gears a little bit now that we've got that out there. So you're building this business. We're about 4 to 6 years back. You're starting to build what we now see as, like, your brand and your brand's influence on the community that it's in. So, to you, what is being an influencer or a person that has influence?
You know, I mean, I'm going to just talk about influencers first. You know, I can tell you that Little Bees would not be where it is today without the brand wraps and the fashion influencers. And I almost think, like, when I first started, like, there wasn't really fashion influencers. At least I didn't know who they were or notice them. I think these ladies, you know, started out as repping, like, brand repping, and then they've kind of evolved into these influencers. Mm-hmm. You know, as time goes, the more posts you make and all this, and then the more boutiques you work with, I mean, and I think it's kind of like a domino effect because, you know, let's say in the beginning I had, you know, I've had, basically, my reps have been with me since the very beginning, and they all started out as customers, and I've seen them grow as fashion influencers because other boutiques are reaching out to them, seeing their photos, like, on my page or whoever's page. It's like, oh, I want to work with her, too. She looks great in that. I need her on my page because she's selling like crazy for these other girls. So I think it's, you know, it's kind of like a trickling effect to where now we're all working with the same people, which can be very challenging at times, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later, but you know, being an influencer, like, is not easy. I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, but there's also a lot of green ones out there that don't truly know what they're doing or, like, what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, you know, they need to be aware of what is being requested from a boutique. I mean, there's a lot to know.
Yeah. And I think this is really why we wanted to bring you on. And then we had a conversation yesterday about these kind of things. And we were like, oh my God, she is the perfect kickoff to the season, because we actually had a lot of great feedback last season on how people that were wanting to get, so last season, was all makers. So people that were wanting to get into making product would listen to our podcast kind of as a how-to from, like, these big brothers and sisters that we interview that are, like, giving them this tutorial of how to do this successfully. And
right.
I think this is, like, if you're wanting to be a brand rep, brand ambassador, influencer, fashion influencer, whatever, like, this is the episode for you, because we're going to spill some tea about how to do it right and see it from the side of the business person, because you have more than a free romper on the line when you're a business person, trusting someone. So,
like, to me, your role as an influencer is to sell the product you're getting paid for.
Yeah.
Like, your role as an influencer is not to look like crazy with your high flip or flips. Like, it's not about that. Okay? It's not about getting free stuff. I mean, it's you know, you really need to care about the boutique and the company you're going into a partnership or a collab with. You got to have full disclosure on both ends, like, what the expectations are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's I've come into like a lot of sticky situations, like working with some influencers, and it just resulted in some petty shit, man.
Mm. Well, yeah, because like Angela said, it's so much more than just like a free piece of clothing, and I feel like It can be really easy to forget that you're entering into a business partnership here, and there are expectations on both sides.
Yeah,
and I mean, let's be real here. If somebody, okay, I know I can't speak for other boutique owners, but I can pretty much bet a lot of money that they're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. I'm not going to send an influencer an item that's flying off the shelf. I'm sending an influencer a turd, okay, that I need help polishing.
Yes.
And for some reason, I can't sell it. I've tried everything. I've put it on, you know, certain people. I've tried it on myself. I can't get it to sell. But if you were to send it out to a popular influencer, everyone who wants to be this person, who, like, idolizes this person, they're going to buy it just to buy it, just to try to be like them. I mean, let's just face it.
Yes. It kind of reminds...
And I don't think a lot of influencers out there get that. I don't know what they think, but I can't tell you how many times I've sent an item out, and I just get shit back, and I can't even use it. And it's just, you know, like, for example, sending a pair of jeans out, and then the photo that comes back, or the photo that they post on their Instagram or their social medias, because that's really what I'm looking for, the extra exposure, because all their followers are going to be looking at this to see where they've gotten it from. They're sitting down. You can't even see the damn jeans. I mean, like, that doesn't do anything for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I feel like they kind of forget, at least for, I know, like, when we, because Abby and I went to high school together, so I can remember sitting in the library flipping through like 17 magazine and what are the actresses wearing and what's the cool new thing. And if Vanessa Hudgens, who was big at the time, hello High School Musical, if she was wearing something but you can't even see what the product is and it's not linked in 17 magazine, nobody's going to anywhere to buy it. It doesn't even matter.
Exactly. No, and back then, I mean, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm just turned 39, and I remember the same 17 magazine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't have phones to where we could be like, my God, let's just click the link and we can buy it online. Yep. You know, we actually had to go to the damn store, like get our moms to take us to some Tempo Casuals or Wet Steel or whatever it was back then.
To go to a mall.
Go to the mall and buy a store.
It was a big deal to go to the mall. Like, I loved the mall.
Same.
Now I hate the mall. I can't even get me to the mall. Like,
But too, like, what a powerful tool then that both influencers and you as a business have at your fingertips to be able to showcase like these products and yourself and have them be just a click away.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I know that Little Bees wouldn't be as popular if I didn't have that in the beginning. I mean, I started out with some badass reps. I mean, Taylor Nobles is one of my reps. She's been with me since the very, very beginning. You know, back in the, like, when I very first started, my very first rep was Tracy, and now she started her own boutique, you know, and I think she was just, like, one of the first. She was so popular, like, people would just use the code, and they just knew that her Tracy 10 or whatever was the code, and they could save money, and they didn't even, like, know the girl or, like, follow her or whatever. She goes, they just saw it from other posts. It was just the craziest thing.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a recognition, and then it becomes kind of this loyalty, too. So can you talk a little bit about, like, how you started building a loyalty with your specific boutique? Because I know we were talking yesterday about, like, how everybody kind of has the same vendors, for the most part, that they're buying from and wholesaling from. So how do you build a specific, you know, your brand and then your loyalty?
So I struggled with this in the beginning because, you know, like you said, we're all selling the same exact stuff, you know, just styling it in a different way. I mean, things that I've had issues with in the past is, you know, other boutique owners reaching out to, you know, my rep or what they're wearing, just to ask, like, what the brand is. Like, hey, what's the brand of those pants you're wearing? And then they just being, like, green, they would be like, oh, they're from this place. Like, they're from this wholesale. And so that other boutique owner would go out and buy the same pants, and then ask to use the photo from, I was using, you know?
I'm cringing right now.
Yeah,
like, it just doesn't, I mean, and it still goes on. I mean, this happens all the time, and I just think there's a lot of miscommunication And so now how I've resolved that is we have our own brand now. Like, you know, we have, luckily after 4 years, we're now manufacturing our own shit.
Hell yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I literally can go to pick out fabrics and I'm like, here's what I want. This is how I want it made. And I'd like, you know, X amount of pieces of this. You know, and there's, you know, there's other things where I buy, of course we all buy off the same, but we go to market, you know, right. Dallas market or LA market. I mean, we're all talking to the same vendors, but I think having my own Little Bees Bohemian, brand, like my own tags, like in the clothing has really helped with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just basically being upfront and honest with your reps. I mean, you got to let them know, hey, this is what's happening. And you know, you got to look out for me.
Yeah, definitely. Because yeah. I think in their eyes, they're like, oh, this is like another brand that I really like. And they're asking me for a favor. So I'm going to give them a favor and not even really thinking about like how that fucks someone else over.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, advice to other boutique owners out there. I mean, a lot of times, like, I don't know, you know, I have a rep that I'm working with or an influencer and I've sent an item out. They go do their photo shoot that they've got scheduled. Like, so more times than not, I get like hundreds of messages a day. Hi, I have a photo shoot coming up. Would you like to collab? Would you like to send anything for my photo shoot? And now I get to the point where I'm just like, I can't even go through them all. I mean, I've got about 25 reps, or actually I probably have more than that now, where my priority is to them. Like, my loyalty is to my reps who are actually working for me day in to day out. I'm going to send my stuff to them first. I mean, I'm not giving free shit out anymore. Like, I did that in the beginning, but, you know, I learned the hard way. Because then, you know, once you get your photo back and you realize that this person has tagged, like, minimum six to 15 other boutiques because they're wearing a bracelet from this place, shoes from this place, shorts from this place, a hat from this place. It's so confusing, and it's just ridiculous. Like, there's nothing we can do with that. You know, back to my point, like, for the other boutique owners out there, if you see me posting a photo and I don't tag you, like, why are you getting offended? I'm not going to tag you on my post. Like, I'm selling my shit.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, and that, I mean, that just feels kind of like common sense, dare I say.
Well, I've had it happen. I have had it happen. Like, there are some total, like, some ruthless women out there. Like, they are just petty as fuck.
New shirt idea. You're a petty as fuck.
We need backup. We need backup.
Put my tag on it.
Like, driving around in their petty copter. Like, seriously, oh, take a seat, bitches.
Petty copter. Shit.
So Kelly, let's talk more about that, though, because I feel like that is kind of a common mistake that maybe new or like young influencers are making. By young, I just mean like people who are just trying to get into this green. Yeah. And it makes sense. You know, you're trying to get bang for your buck when you're working with a photographer, maybe, right. Or it's just like more practical for them that they put all of these products together in a single photo, or they think it looks, you know, cuter to style it that way and to curate all of these items. But like, what happens on your end when you get that image back?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I get why they do it. I do, but to me, it's kind of lazy. I mean, if you know, if you're trying to get all your stuff done in one photo, I think that's pretty lazy. In my opinion, you know, you get 10 items from 10 different boutiques. Like, why the hell would you wear all 10 items in one photo just to be done with it? So you don't have to do more photos. Like, that's the way that I look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, more chances than not, like, if I'm going to send you an item and you're like, okay, well, you know, let's talk about this. How are you going to style it? Like, I mean, I would send you multiple items just so I could get monopolize the photo to where I don't have, because here's what happens, and this is what customers, they don't get it. Like, they look at a photo and they're gonna pick out, it happens all the time, they're gonna pick out the item that you don't have. I need those shoes. Where do I find those shoes? And they don't care about anything else that you're selling in the photo but the shoes. And I can't get the shoes because old girl over there has the shoes. So now I have to give up, you know, I have to give up, oh, that's with them. And then you lose a potential customer, which is fine. I mean, we have customers coming in. I'm not like worried about sales or whatever, but I guess the moral of the story is like, I want to keep it majority my brand when it comes to collabing.
Oh, that totally makes sense.
I mean, I think in this,
and if I could give any advice to influencers out there, like, just know that, like, your photo with, you know, 10 different boutiques in it really isn't helping anyone.
Mm. Yeah.
It's only helping themselves. Like, it's only, I mean, it's right. only building up their own followers, but they're really not. They could give a shit about the boutiques they're working with. Because if they did, they wouldn't be doing that.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a common, maybe, mistake that is easy to make in this, like, Instagram or media-driven world, is that you're just trying to take, like, a really cute photo of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so yes. you're putting all of these products,
me.
Yeah, products together that you think look the best without remembering to highlight the product you've been sent.
Yeah.
Exactly. Completely agree. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, mixing up brands is tough, and I know I'm not the only one that feels this way. I mean, but yeah, I could see if you're a couple boutiques going in and paying for a photo shoot and you're hiring or having girls come and you guys are all working together and you're sending, you know, like I do this all the time. I mean, when I do a photo shoot, I'll only pick like heritage style for the jewelry, or I'll only pick like hippie cowgirl couture or something. Mm-hmm. I won't mix those two. I would never put both of their jewelry in my photo shoot because that's just mm-hmm. that's just an asshole move. You just don't do that.
Yeah
it makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense. Not something that you think about though.
No,
like, yeah, same with hats. Like if you're gonna wear hats for your shoot, you only have one brand of hats. You don't have two different or three different. You know, you don't have your Charlie one and you don't have your other, like, it's not cool.
Yeah. Damn. And that makes so much sense because then, like, of course, for all these people who are looking to get noticed by a brand or repost it, yeah, they're not going to repost something with their direct competition standing
right
next to it.
Absolutely
not.
Right. You can't.
You're not going to, I mean, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Ugh. So God, I'm like mind blown.
You and I are
right
both
now.
Looking at We're each other like, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people think about it. I mean, it's just something that it just causes conflict, and it's just not good.
And again, that comes back to that idea of loyalty, right? Like you have loyalty yes. from your customers, but also mm. you really need a specific level of loyalty from your brand reps or from the people that you're kind of bringing on as influencers in your circle.
I completely agree. But loyalty can also be a bad thing because then you get those folks that only want to buy from you, and they'll literally, I get people sending me screenshots of other boutique stuff. Like, hey, can you get this item for me? Can you get this dress? I'd really rather buying it from you. Like, dude, I'm totally flattered, but I think I can't go buy this just because, you know, you want it, like, go buy it from them, like, support that other company, like, right. Or, like, graphic tees is a huge one, and I know that this kind of falls in line with the makers, but, you know, these graphic tee artists or companies are coming out with stuff. Becca struggles with this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, copying, like, can you make this tee for me? Like, I want this tee, but can you do it because I can get it cheaper from you? Like, that's totally fucked up. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Buy from the original person.
I know we talked about that, like, with Misty, too, with Spoiled Cowgirls, like, custom, you know, silverwork, jewelry type stuff of, like, screenshots of another maker's work.
Yeah.
Taking it to them cool. and being like, can you recreate this
for
me?
Can you do this for me? No.
No, I'm an artist.
You know, and I've been guilty of it, but before I knew any of this in the beginning, like, yeah, I'm sure same. I did the same shit.
Yeah.
But now I've, like, been trained and coached and learned the hard way, but now I get it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of people just don't know, and it's, you know, not their fault, but you just have to coach them along the way.
Yeah.
We all learn.
It's the know better, do better.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all just trying to learn. Yeah.
And unfortunately, like you said, this industry can be so cutthroat sometimes that there's not always a lot of room to make those learning mistakes.
Yeah. Cost a lot of money.
Yeah. People kind of come for you. So
it really is cutthroat. I mean, it's not easy. And, you know, I got to give props to all the other, you know, boutiques out there, like grinding, like a daily grind. I mean, I never stop working. I'm always doing something on my phone. I pretty much don't have a life. Even when I go on vacation, it's all I'm doing.
Yeah, we feel you.
The internet never sleeps.
I'm not complaining. No. Like, I'm addicted. Like, I'm totally addicted to my job.
It's my drug. I'm fine.
I'm fine.
So what are some maybe specifics that you like to look for when it comes to influencers, their photography, or even photographers?
So like I said before, you know, all of our brand reps pretty much came from our customers. I mean, I've really never brought on a brand rep that hasn't bought anything from me before. And I get this emails all day long, messages, how do I become a brand rep? How do I become a brand rep? And I'm like, okay, send me some photos of you wearing Little Bee's clothing. Oh, I don't have anything. Like, why the fuck do you want to be a brand rep for Little Bee's Bohemian? Like, I just don't understand. Like,
that's, I mean, so you don't own important. Anything.
You never shop with me. I don't get it.
Well, too, that's so another one of those things that feels so common sense. Like, why would you ask somebody for something free from their business if you've never purchased anything from them before?
That's all it is. So every one of my brand reps started out as a killer customer. And, you know, they brand wrapped without even being asked to brand wrap. I mean, they kept constantly posting photos of themselves in the clothing, tagging me. I mean, I could see, like, the activity coming back. I mean, so much engagement from these posts, and if I were to repost it on my photo, on my Instagram, getting like 2,000-3,000 likes for one of those photos, I'm like, okay, obviously our followers like this girl, so let's go ahead and bring her on as a brand rep. But I don't know if I answered your question.
Let's go into photography a little bit. I know we touched on this yesterday. Is there anything specific that you, I mean, do you even talk to the photographer for the most part? It's more on the influencer side, right?
Well, lately I've had to start talking to them because I've come into some situations with the photographers, and I think that a lot of times when these ladies, even myself, I mean, it's very gray when you go, you know, unless you have a good photographer that's, you know, fully disclosed everything. But, I mean, it's kind of a gray area. You're just so excited about your photo shoot, and then you go, and then you're only getting, like, 50 photos for the money, and then you don't have rights to the photos, and then it's so confusing at the end, and then it causes, like, all this conflict. Like, you're not allowed to post on your Instagram. You're not allowed to post on a website. You have to pay $100 per photo if you want to do that. Like, it's the most bizarre bullshit. Some of these photographers out there are just whacked. Like, I just think they need to just take a look at themselves and realize that not everyone gets it. I mean, everybody's different. Like, can we just get a streamlined program here? You know? I mean, I've gotten in trouble with the photographer. Like, there was one that was so pissed off that I put the photos on my website. Like, I had no idea, and I guess it's my fault for, like, why should I have to reach out to the photographer? I mean, the photographer and the rep went into an agreement together. Like, the rep paid for the shoot. Like, I have nothing to do with this. The rep should be able to do whatever the fuck she wants to do with photos, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
But, man, that lady got dick bitten sideways. I could not even believe this shit. I mean, she was like, I'm traumatized from this. So now I'm, like, scared to post anything. So I have to, like, reach out, which is time that I don't have, to reach out to the photographer and be like, is it okay if I use your photo on my website as long as I tag you? Whatever, man.
That's so true, though. And that's so hard. That's another thing I think that's so important for these green brand reps or influencers to consider when they're working with a photographer. Like, this is something that they need to work out on their end, because it's not the responsibility of the business owner to mediate that.
Because they're paying, a business owner is paying for product photos.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't have access to the product photos,
then what are you
doing? What are you doing, influencer?
Yeah.
Right. The key word there is product photos. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the key word. I mean, the thing is like, a lot of these photographers, I don't think they get it. I don't think they get that they're actually shooting the photos to accentuate the merchandise, not the person. We want to see the merchandise, okay?
Yep.
I don't care if she's doing her hair flipped and she's, like, got a back bend with her leg up on the damn wall. Like, I don't give a shit. Just get the back pocket detailing of the jeans, okay?
Amazing.
Again, a common sense thing that just doesn't maybe translate.
But, yeah, and you know, the reps, like, now I've just learned. I mean, I guess you evolve and you learn, but now I ask okay, how did this go down? What else have you shot with these photos? Are we allowed to use these photos? Like, can we post them on the website? I mean, there's some photographers that are just so strict. Like, you're not even allowed to, like, I don't want to say, like, resize the photo, but, like, to fit it into the Instagram box. Like they don't even, if you clip off, like, the bottom leg or something, like, to try to get it into the square, dude, they lose their shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. Because, again, that's down to, like, this is a product photo and not necessarily about the artistic integrity of the image that the photographer produced.
And, I mean, it's taken a lot of people working with, but I finally found, like, Tyler McNell, like, she is my photographer. Like, that's pretty much the only person I'll use because she gets it. She's like, no, we got to sell the item. Like, if you want to put it in a collage, even like a simple collage, like a 3 collage thing. She's like, that's fine. Other photographers won't even let you put their photo in a collage.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, and at that point, it's like, it almost just takes a different kind of photographer. Like, maybe they're just not cut out to be a product photographer, because if you want to, I mean, I'm a songwriter, and so, like, yes, copyright is big on my mind, but it's like, for some things, you know, if that's the nature of your photo shoot, then you need to be able to say,
just pivot a little bit.
What they are doing with this photo is, like, you know, I'm the photographer and not the owner of this photo anymore, so, like, go prosper and be beautiful.
And you would think, I mean, I'm not, like, tooting my own horn here, but, I mean, the one lady that wanted $100 for me I would have to pay $100 to post the photo, like, she had literally, like, 900 followers, and I'm like, okay, so don't you see value in me reposting your flipping photo and, like, posting you?
Yeah.
I just, you know, I have to respect my time and my work. I'm like, okay, I get it, so I'm not gonna post it at all, so
yeah,
there goes that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all struggle with that, you know, of what's my time worth, what is this worth, that worth, but it's like, okay, sometimes you need to do things for your business to go forward too. Like you were talking about in the beginning, you know, you do send stuff to people for free as you're trying to get your name out there, get your product out there.
Yeah.
And then as you go up and up, okay, now it's worth this, to where if I can see certain photos and recognize who the photographer is, then sure, start charging.
Exactly. No, exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of great photographers out there. I mean, I know that it's a really tough business, especially now with COVID and everything. I mean, I know that they're struggling, and I think that maybe they're kind of loosening up a little bit and letting go of some of their, you know, strict terms.
Times are tough.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I guess advice I could give to influencers or brand reps out there is to have that difficult conversation before you step onto the runway for the shoot. I mean, you need to ask those questions, like, does this money that I'm paying you include this? Like, am I allowed to use these to do whatever I want with? I mean,
yeah,
that's their role. That I have nothing to do with that. That's the influencers, and some of them do a great job. Some of them have no idea what they're doing. They think they're just there to look pretty, and, you know,
it really takes get a bunch of photos. Business mindset to be an influencer, almost more than, you know, how you look, whatever, but, you know, how can you pose to highlight this item? How do you treat people on the back end of it? Do you just send out, hey, can you send me a free product? I mean, how many of those messages do you get a day?
I get so much. It's annoying. It's to the point where I don't even look at them anymore. Like, can I collab? You know, my favorite. Oh my God, I just found your boutique and I really love it. Everything is so cute and it's so me. Want to collab?
Who's turned into, like, Barbie there?
Amazing.
Want to play a game?
Maybe. I might collab, but, I mean, show me what you got first. Like, don't come at me with some, like, desperate pitch, you know?
Yeah.
So then, Kelly, what would be, like, who would be the ideal new brand ambassador, brand rep, influencer who just, like, sneaks into your inbox or, like, puts in a request on your website? Like, what do they look like? How do they present themselves to you?
Well, it's a funny story because I see if I can find this email, and this is a customer from us.
She's got receipts.
It's like, this is hilarious. So, okay, this is funny. And I read this like 5 times and I just laughed because it was so fucking hilarious and it was so humble. And I'm like, okay, she's a rep. She goes, good afternoon. This is the second time I've ordered from y'all. I've received my items today. I just want you to let you know that you're killing the game. I would 100% buy your entire store if I was able to. I've had my own dreams of my own boutique because of my style variation, but you're nailing it, girl. I'm literally obsessed with every single thing I've gotten from you, and I absolutely cannot wait to go out and show it off. I'm checking Instagram daily for any openings on the rep team. Until I have my own boutique, and even when I do, I want to be a rep for y'all and will apply and reapply until I get it. Again, thanks for keeping what, keep what you're doing, queen. The shit's killer, and I'm obsessed. I love y'all, Samantha. Aww. Okay, I love you, Samantha. I found her order. I texted this girl, and I'm like, hey, you're on. You win. So, yeah, like, that impresses me. Like, somebody who's already buying from me, and then I look at her Instagram, and I already recognize her. Like, she bought a denim jumpsuit, and she looked killer in it, and she's already posting. I mean, like, people that do it already without even asking, like, you know, they're already repping with whether they know it or not. Those are the people I bring on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really, as far as buying stuff from boutiques go, if you are an influencer and you love fashion that much, that is what you're spending your money on.
Yeah.
Is agreed. Buying more clothes, yes. More jewelry.
I so agree. And, you know, like I said, most of our reps, you know, I just brought on maybe 10 brand new ones this past month, and they're awesome. I mean, they're already killing it. But the others that I had have been with me since the very beginning, and just to watch them evolve and they've really come a long way because, you know, they're not only working with me, they're working with other stores. And, you know, some of them have even created their own side hustle. I mean, I know Taylor, I keep mentioning her name because she's been, you know, the OG. I mean, she's probably been with me the longest out of all of them. She just has her eyelash line, the Fling Falsies. I mean, she's doing her side thing, but still she's repping, posting stuff every day for Little Bees. I mean, she's totally loyal. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for our reps.
Oh, amazing. Awesome. So yeah. It sounds like, make sure any of you out there who are looking to be a brand rep, brand ambassador, influencer, that you're buying from boutiques first. Mm-hmm. You're already posting about it. You're engaging with that business so that they are familiar, like, with your face and who you are. When you reach out to them, be yourself.
Yeah.
And be authentic about it. And if you then become a brand rep for them or an ambassador, make sure that you're being clear with the people that you're working with and working for, especially when it comes down to, like, photographers and who has rights to images. And that, again, this is about the product. This isn't about,
it's not about you.
This isn't about us and how cute we look in the photos. So,
but you also better look cute, though.
But you better look cute because we don't want it if you don't.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. That was so much good advice.
Everyone can notice that. I guarantee other boutique owners, they notice you. If you're posting their shit on you and you're tagging them a lot, they're going to notice you and they're going to be grateful. Well, I would hope they'd be grateful. I know I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of times, like, I love to repost their photos, like our customer photos. I mean, I get so many and I hope I don't, like, hurt anyone's feelings because I can't possibly post all of them, you know? So now I've been trying to, like, send them to the stories or, you know, and a lot of times some of the stuff's already sold out, so I can't repost it on the Instagram feed because that would be frustrating for people. Like, I need that and I can't get to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, don't take offense to, you know, the reposting thing, but that's just amazing. Like, I love it. I love it when I'll be get tagged wearing, you know, Little Bee stuff. It just makes my whole day.
Oh, so kind of to wrap this up, Kelly, looking forward, what is, like, a goal for you that you have not yet hit? Because obviously you've had huge amounts of success, but where are you looking at for your brand in maybe 5-10 years?
Whoa, that's a great question. You know, I struggle with this a lot. I mean, you know, I just pray that, you know, I think we'll still be kicking, you know, 5-10 years from now. I just really need to get a solid staff. I'm struggling right now with warehouse staff. I guess my shit together locally before I could branch out. I had visions of opening an actual brick and mortar in, like, a little bit around Dallas area, like Fort Worth area. I know we talked about that at NFR with my team there. It sounded like such a good idea, and I think it would really take off. But then this whole COVID thing happened. You know, I really like to get more into like the manufacturing aspect. I get emails every day about wholesale. You know, I'm starting to lean, like, maybe I do need to do wholesale. Like, a lot of boutiques want to carry my line. Like, maybe that's the next step. Mm-hmm. But then again, like, I kind of want to be selfish and just keep it all to myself.
Right.
Like, you can only get it here, little bees. But, I mean, how cool would that be to have your shit, like, in other stores? Like, I think that would be awesome. But I first got to get, I mean, we're hiring 2 to 3 full-time people right now. I got to get ads out. So once I get my stuff back home dialed in, I can kind of go to the next step. But yeah, I think it's either along the lines of a brick and mortar, like even a pop-up somewhere. I'd like to do more shows. You know, I don't know about big shows. I mean, we did Vegas the last 2 years and it about killed me. I mean, coming from South Florida all the way, driving that was like 4 days there, 4 days back. Like, not cut out. That's just not me. I'm not cut out for that shit. I can't do it. And I could fly in all my stuff and then fly it in, but then it's just a lot of work.
You need like a whole cargo plane for that.
Yeah, it's just too much. I mean, I'm just too much. And being out there for like 17 days, like, I was over it.
Whoa, man.
I was out there for six and I was over it.
Yeah, I would like to get involved with more shows, you know, music festivals, that kind of thing. Mm. You know, I guess just blow the brand up a little bit more. I'd even like to bring on a men's line. Ooh, and a baby line, yeah. Like a kid line. I mean, that's been on the back burner too, but I just haven't had time because, you know, my core is still out of control as far as staffing issues and things like that.
Mm. Well, that all sounds so exciting.
So the sky's the limit, Lil B. Buzz.
Keep pollinating.
There's just so much. I have so many ideas. There's just so much. I just can't do it all by myself.
Yeah. Well, if you think you're a great team member fit, maybe we should send you to the DMs.
Ooh.
if you're in, what part of Florida are you in?
Boca Raton, South Florida. We're a little bit north of Fort Lauderdale, a little bit south of West Palm Beach.
Ooh, nice. So if you're around that area and you have a great work ethic.
Yes.
So, Kelly, how can people find you and your business? Can you give us your Instagram, your website, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram is kind of our main bitch, I guess you could say. you know, I'm not really a Facebook girl. We do have a VIP, private VIP page that you have to request on Facebook. We also have a Facebook business page, but I'm just not old school. Like I don't like Facebook. I mean, I need to probably get better at it. I tried to do the whole TikTok thing. I'm just not into it. Can't do it.
Same.
And then Snapchat, same with that. I'm not into that. Ooh. We do have a little piece of Snapchat. But, yeah, Instagram is kind of where I'm staying. Like, this is where we're at. So
that's where the hive is.
And then our website. Yeah, our website. We're about to redo our website next month, I think. We have a in line to get a whole revamp done, which is much needed. It's so basic. Like, we gotta get started. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I just found this awesome company and we're gonna revamp Little Bees Bohemian.
Woohoo. Ooh,
okay, so Instagram, they can find you at lil underscore bees underscore bohemian. So if you're not following that, make sure you go follow that right now for some serious fashion inspo. And then your
also
website.
Pinterest. So check. I like Pinterest.
I do too.
It's a good one.
I mean, you could go down a rabbit hole on Pinterest for hours and hours, and then your whole day is like halfway gone.
I've never done that before. What's that like?
I wouldn't get it.
What did you do today, honey? I created all kinds of boards.
My imagination's gone wild.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for sitting down with us today and talking. This was another just chapter of the Bible of
incredible
how to do things the right way. We wish you all the best, and I know we're going to be seeing you very soon. Very
soon. Yes, can't wait, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later, Kelly. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Breaking Western Podcast. You are in season 2, Influencers. We'll see you next week with another revered guest that will be announced very soon over on our Instagram at Breaking Western Podcast. See y'all.